Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10 is where we're going to be based out of here for this service. Luke chapter 10. To tell you a little bit more about our ministry and what we do. We've been doing this, like I said, in Sunday school. We've been doing this for 13 years now. And so over 13 years, God's kind of led us to what all we're supposed to do with this ministry. And so we've come narrowed it down. We actually were doing four things, and then God just recently added on a fifth thing that we're going to be doing with our ministry. And so four things that we focus on before the fifth thing here, I'll tell you about in just a second. First thing is we spread awareness. We go into all over the country talking about the issue of fatherlessness because it is affecting every single person in the United States of America. Maybe you're thinking, well, how does it affect me? I'm going to show you some statistics in just a little bit here. I'll show you how it's affecting you in one way or another, okay? So you understand what's happening with this issue. So I want to encourage you, don't shut me out because fatherlessness is affecting all of us, but we all can do something about it. And so we spread awareness about the issue, how people understand what's going on with it. We also create unique resources. Over the last 13 years, we've created several resources to encourage fatherless families. We have a table set up over there with resources you can check out and purchase. We also have cards back there you can get. There's our prayer cards. We have tracts that you can grab that say a message for the fatherless on them. And you can give those out to people you know that will show them how God will be their heavenly Father through Jesus Christ. And it'll walk them through that. And these tracts have their, on the back of it, they have our information on how to find godismydad.com and things like that. We also have cards back there about our books and things like that. So check out the welcome table. We also have a table over here with books and things like that you can purchase. And we do have a square reader just in case. People ask us all the time, do you take credit card? Yeah, we have a square reader just so it makes it convenient for everybody. If you want to get some of our books and things like that. But some of the resources we've created, we have a devotional book for fatherless guys. That's where our whole ministry started. I went to school to be a pastor, and God led me, as soon as I graduated from college, God led me to write a book for fatherless guys. And that's where the whole ministry started. I didn't realize it was going to be a ministry. So I wrote this book, and it turned into a devotional book, 30 things you would deal with being a fatherless guy. And it's called The Fatherless Journey. And I pulled other friends that I had. I used my stories, and we created that resource. We also have one for girls. I used my sister's stories in that. Same thing, top 30 things you would deal with. Pulled other people as well. And then one for single moms as well. I used my mom's stories in there. And these books can be used as a small group resource, a one-on-one mentoring resource as you work with somebody, or as a personal study if that's your journey. And understand if you're here today and you're on a single mom journey or a fatherless individual, understand that there is hope. I'm here to testify that there's hope through Jesus Christ. You can overcome your situation. You can get through this. If you're a grandparent raising your grandkids, or you're a foster care family, or a single dad, a motherless child, whatever situation you're in, you can get through this through God, through Jesus Christ. You can have hope, you can have the victory to overcome the situation that you're facing. And so these resources are to help you on your journey, to help you work through those things. We've had 10 years old, or even before that, with parents working with them, up through senior adults, use our books to work through these things. We also have children's books for fatherless children, one for motherless children, one for orphan and foster care children. Now, I'm in the ministry, I'm not in the business of making books to sell them, but there are resources you can use to help work through your situation or help others, to disciple them, to evangelize them. They're all gospel-centered to help them on their journey, to encourage them with that. So definitely check those out. Get some of those books and give them out to people you know, or use them for your own journey, however you want to do it. They're available over there in the all-purpose room. Is that what it's called? All-purpose building? Over there, so you can check those out after the service during the meal. We also have God Is My Dad t-shirts, lanyards, wristbands, stickers, things like that. Check those out. Make sure you get some of those and use them for whatever purpose you want to use them for. We have these shirts that say, "No fear, because God is my dad." Maybe you're thinking, well, what does it mean, God is my dad? God, the Bible says God is our Abba Father. He's our daddy father. Through Jesus Christ, we can have our God as our father. Jesus shared his dad with us because he died on the cross, and he wanted us to have the ability to experience God as our father. And so God is our daddy father. It's an intimate way of saying dad. It's an intimate way of saying father by having God as our father. And so it encourages people. For years, we tried to figure out, how do we put a positive spin on this, not just saying a kid's fatherless, but saying, God is my dad. God is my father. He's there for me. I don't have a dad. My dad maybe rejected me. My dad rejected me. But you can have God as your dad. And he'll be that. He'll fill that void. And the Bible talks about that the whole way through, just different information about fatherless individuals. He'll father them. We'll talk about that. But then we have resources for the fatherless, for fatherless families, to encourage them. We have this thing called godismydad.com, like I said. On there, there's videos from different Christian leaders. Who's ever heard of the Skit Guys before? You ever heard of the Skit Guys? Who's ever heard of the movies Courageous, War Room, Facing the Giants? The director, producer on there is Stephen Kendrick. He's on there. He made a video. Skit Guys made a video. Former NFL quarterbacks on there. We also have different pastors and ministry leaders on there telling the fatherless, hey, you can make it. You can overcome your situation. And so it's a free app resource. Now, we have the old app out there still available on the Apple and Google Play Store. We're actually working on God is My Dad 2.0. It's a new app that we have coming out. We're excited about it. Going to have a lot more new content. It's going to be updated. It's going to look a lot better than the old one did. The first one was drafted in 2017. It was getting kind of outdated. And so if you go to godismydad.com right now, it's kind of a landing page. It has content, things like that. We also have a YouTube channel, Instagram, things like that, to reach out to the fatherless, to reach out to single moms, to help them on their journey. So on there you can find, there's how-to videos and stuff like that, but the new one's going to have a ton of stuff. If you'd like to find out when the new one's going to be available, if you want to find out how you can be helped on your journey, or how you can help others, I want to encourage you to sign up for our email list. You can text to the number 66866, not 666, okay, we're not that kind of ministry, understand that, 66866. Text the word dad to that number, and you'll be able to be opted into our email list, and it'll enroll you. You'll ask for your email address, but you can text to the number 66866, the word dad, and it'll opt you into our email list, and you'll be able to get in touch with us. Or you can do it the old school way. You can put your email address on the clipboard over in the fellowship hall. Either way, it doesn't matter to us. And you're thinking, well, I can't do text. Well, sign up in the clipboard. So it's fine with us. Either way, we'd love to have you involved, and you can find out when this new app's going to be available. Hopefully we can get that launched soon and get it released. But it's going to have all kinds of content. But I want to encourage you, if you do nothing else after today, grab some of our cards, our tracks, give them out to people you know, because it's a free resource for them to use to help them on their journey. We also have posters. Maybe you work in a place where you can hang up a poster, a coffee shop, or a Boys and Girls Club, or a Christian school, or wherever you can hang it up. We've got God is My Dad posters over there. Just take them and hang them up. You can take as many as you want. We have a bunch of them, and we'd love to get them out there as a free resource to help fatherless families, to help them on their journey. So we create unique resources. We also go and speak in places. We go into youth detention centers, public schools. We go into Christian schools. We go to conferences, camps, pretty much wherever we can get in to speak messages of hope to individuals or spread awareness about the issue and train on the issue of fatherless ministry and help people understand what's going on with that. We also are on deputation. We are doing our ministries. We travel. We're also on kind of deputation. We're raising our support. And so we are partnering with local churches all over the country, trying to get our support raised. So we are missionaries to the fatherless of the United States and around the world, eventually reaching the fatherless. And so, but the thing is, we want to help churches regardless of whether they partner with us. We are raising support for our ministry, trying to become fully supported. But we partner with churches all over the country regardless. And so we have resources to help local churches. It's one of our main things because we believe the local church is the answer. We really do. The local church helped me, and I've seen many people be helped by local churches. But there's a big disconnect between local churches and fatherless families a lot of times. And we're trying to bridge that gap and trying to help bridge that gap there where they don't feel a disconnect there. And so we have resources for churches. We have training and different things like that to help them as they minister to the fatherless in their local community. And then the last thing is, it's a new thing that we have, is God's been working on us this year. We were praying that God would lead us to a church to base ourselves out of, to do our ministry at. Now, we have a sending church in Florida, but we knew it was time for us to kind of settle down, base ourselves somewhere, still travel, still speak, still create unique resources, still do the ministry that God's called us to do, still doing all four first things, but doing it more strategically in some of it, being able to create a lot more unique resources and things like that. And so we were out in Las Vegas, really trying to double our support. I'm just kidding. We were not doing that. Maybe some of you guys caught that. I'm just joking. We were in Las Vegas. I'm just joking, okay? We were in Las Vegas doing some, we were actually, I was speaking at a church out there. They have churches in Vegas, okay? I understand that. And I was speaking at a church out in Las Vegas, actually my cousin's church, and I went out with my other cousin. He's the executive pastor for my uncle's church, where he's the senior pastor at. And he asked me, he's like, well, actually his wife did. They're like, why don't you just come here and base yourself here? My cousin Matt, he's a pastor out there. He's taken over this church, Liberty Baptist Church in Las Vegas. He said, I've been praying about this for a year. He said, why don't you come out here? And we prayed about it. We didn't think it would be family. And honestly, we don't have any desire to live in Vegas, okay? It's not somewhere where we're like, it's not even on my top 10. I'm just going to be honest with you. But God has been working on my heart since they said that. And it's like, I could see how this is God's will. And so we prayed about it from Father's Day time for probably about 2 months or so. And God just kept revealing to us, this is where I want you to go and base your ministry. And what we're going to do is, as God revealed it to us, is we're being led by God to start establishing local God Is My Dad chapters across the country. And so we committed to go to Vegas to launch this. We're not working on staff at a church. We're not doing that. We're working with churches in Vegas and helping them and trying to work with single moms. And so what we're going to be doing is working with the local pregnancy center there. It's the largest pregnancy center in the world, where they help individuals that are pregnant, women that are pregnant. They help them choose life. And so what the goal is, though, is to help them find a local church to plug into once they choose life, and really just help them as a single mom. A lot of pregnancy centers, they don't have the ability to minister to that single mom after she chooses life. And so the goal is to find them a local church that actually cares about them and wants to minister to them. We have connections in Vegas through my cousin. He's got all these connections now, and he wants to share them with us. He's worked with the Las Vegas Police Department out there, or one of the police departments out there, with the Las Vegas Golden Knights, which is an NHL team, the Las Vegas Raiders, which is the NFL team out there. And you're thinking, well, how are you going to work with them? We're going to bring the gospel into already some of the at-risk programs that they're already doing. You know, you can give a kid a football, you can give a kid information on how to play hockey or whatever it might be, but if there's no gospel presence there, there's no eternal hope. And so we're going to be working with them, all these connections that we already have, and bridging that gap between them and the gospel, and bringing them in through sports and things like that. And so what we're going to do is we're going to develop a model there with the local police department, with at-risk communities. We're going to be doing Bible clubs in these at-risk, underprivileged neighborhoods, and we're going to develop a model that we can take across the country to other big cities, to Denver, to Indianapolis, to, you know, Chicago, wherever we can, and put God Is My Dad clubs all over, or God Is My Dad chapters all over the country. And then as we committed to that, God led us to Tennessee. You're like, think of Tennessee? We have a church that partners with the Calvary Baptist Church in Dixon, Tennessee. They're one of our supporting churches. And they contacted us and said, hey, we're working with a pregnancy center here. This is after we committed to Vegas. And one of the thoughts we had about going to Vegas is, this doesn't translate to small cities. You know, this isn't going to be something that would be able to take and go into a small city, because it's a different model with the professional teams and things like that. Well, Dixon, Tennessee contacted us, and they said, and this is a small town. It's about an hour outside of Nashville, and real small town. And they said, we're already working with this local pregnancy center, and can you help us? And so what we prayed about it, and we decided to do, we're going to establish a local small city chapter, God Is My Dad chapter, in Tennessee with this church, with that pastor running it. And so we're going to do the big city chapter in Vegas, small city chapter in Tennessee, and then our goal is to take those into different cities across the country then and do the same type of model. So just pray for us about that. I honestly believe that's one of the reasons why God allowed our RV to be broken. And so he's saying, get off the road and go do this. And so we're like, okay, Lord, we trust you. He's taking care of it. And we know that he's going to provide for that. But just pray for us as we're actually transitioning over to Vegas then. In December, we're going to go rent a house out there and do ministry there, base ourselves there. Again, we're still going to be traveling, not as much as we are right now. Not homeless like we are now. We're going to be traveling, and we're going to be going from there. We're going to be doing ministry across the country. We're also going to be creating a lot more resources, because we're going to be based there and be able to practice resources there. And we're also going to be speaking pretty much wherever we can go, you know, with the opportunities that God wants us to go, as long as we know for sure it's something God wants us to do. And so just pray for us that we work out all these different things. We're dialing back on some of the speaking that we do, and dialing back on actually a lot of the speaking and a lot of the spreading awareness part, because we're going to be focusing on this local area. We're still going to be going to churches across the country strategically, still going to be creating unique resources, still partnering with local churches all over the country, actually probably more, because we'll have more time to contact and things like that. So pray for us about that. These are the five things that we do, just working through that. And so this morning I want to talk to you about how to help hurting people. If you have any questions about our ministry, come see us. If you do nothing else, grab a prayer card. Pray for us about it. Our family's been traveling. We've been doing this ministry. We've been on the road for almost 3 years now. And so, but God has been blessing us. He's been taking care of us. Actually, October of 2018 is when we gave up we were renting a condo as a youth pastor down in Florida. And we gave it up, and we've been homeless since then. So about 3 years. Yeah, we've been homeless. But it's been good. God's been taking care of us. And we've been provided for. We've been doing what God's called us to do. But Luke chapter chapter 10 is where we're going to be based out of this morning, Luke chapter 10, and we're going to be really just covering how to help hurting people. I'm here this morning to represent the fatherless, the single moms, but God can lead you to somebody different in your circle of influence. We all have what I like to call a circle of influence, okay? In your circle of influence, there could be, co-workers, there's neighbors, there's family, there's all these different people in your circle of influence that you have the contact with, that you have the ability to connect with. And maybe you're thinking, well, some of these people in my circle, I wish they weren't there. I understand, I'm just kidding. But some of these people are like, man, why are they in my circle? I get that, I'm just joking. But we should be thankful, we should be doing our best to minister to some of these people. But God's called you to reach those people in your circle of influence. God's called you to help those people. And I want you to think about who's in your circle, whether they live across the country or whatever it might be. If they're related to you, you have a connection with them, then even some people that live near them might not. And you have the ability to help them out. I was speaking at a church in Cincinnati a couple years ago. And the pastor got up after I was done. He said, you know what? He said, I have a niece and a nephew that are fatherless, and I never thought about it until now. Maybe that's you. Maybe you have a single mom you work with, or a grandparent raising their grandkids in your neighborhood, or a single dad, or motherless individual, or you have a niece and a nephew that are fatherless, or a grandchild, or whatever it might be. You have the ability to minister to them and help them on their journey, and to encourage them. And I want to talk about this morning through this story in Luke chapter 10. It's a great passage here. Luke chapter 10, verse 29. It says, but he willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. These two verses are very sad verses because these guys should have helped. Verse 33 is an encouragement though, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. This morning I want to give you 3 steps that we all can take to reach the fatherless or the hurting people in our circle of influence. God could lead you to somebody different today that's hurting in a certain situation, and you have the ability to minister to them. I want to encourage you to think about those people and see what you can do. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll dive into this. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to be able to come here this morning and be able to talk about this issue of fatherlessness, Lord. It's such an epidemic in our nation and across the world. Lord, but I pray that we all as Christians can do our part. Help us not to get overwhelmed by the numbers. Help us to be excited about what we can do and being part of the solution for this. I pray that you'd help us all to do our part. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. Rid me of myself. I pray that this message be from you. And I pray that you'd be glorified. Help us to meet with us now, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the first thing is, if you want to reach the people that are hurting around you, the first thing is you got to reject apathy. Reject apathy. Maybe you're thinking, well, what's apathy? I was in 8th grade, and my 8th grade teacher came to me. He's like, Sean, I need to talk to you. He called me up to his desk. And I was one of those kids that was always getting in trouble in school. Now I want to see who my people are here. Who used to get in trouble in school? Raise your hand if you used to get in trouble in school. Be honest with me. I see your hand. Thank you. My 6-year-old daughter is raising her hand. She's homeschooled, and she gets in trouble in school. Anybody else? Raise your hand if you get in trouble in school. Be honest. But come on. I'm not trying to. It's okay. Don't be embarrassed. It's okay. I appreciate your honesty, sir. Thank you so much. Ages of all kind, okay? And we understand. And now we're bragging about it because we're ashamed of our past, okay? We shouldn't have been like that, but it happened, okay? But anyways, I used to get in trouble in school, and this teacher came to me. He said, Sean, you have been apathetic. And I looked at him. I said, I don't even know what that word means. I've never heard that word in my life. What does that even mean? He says, that means you don't care. You don't care that you don't care, and that's sin. And he's talking about 8th grade science. It's pretty heavy for 8th grade science, right? And I'm like, wow, I don't know that I ever cared about 8th grade. So I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm not sure if I did. If you're in 8th grade, you should care. Be like my 4.0 wife that she was she was really good in school. Me, I passed, okay? I passed. I got through it. God brought me through it. But I don't know if I ever cared about 8th grade science. But you know what I learned? I learned that day what apathy meant. And I carried that with me through my adult life. And I've seen areas in my life where I have been apathetic, seeing people that are hurting around me, people that places, things I should have been involved in, ministries that I should have done, areas where I've been apathetic. And then as an adult, as teenagers, as children, we all have areas where we need to reject apathy, stop being apathetic about it, and say, I'm going to do something about this. We see here in this passage, verse 30, it says, and Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. This guy here had been, he's very likened the fatherless today. Now understand, if you are from a fatherless family, if you are a single mom, this does not have to define you. I'm going to share some statistics with you in a few minutes here, and understand you don't have to become a statistic. Your children don't have to become a statistic. This is what's happening with people without Jesus Christ in their life, without a church that gets behind them, without Christians helping them on their journey. What's going on is we're seeing children that have been robbed, they've been wounded, they've been abandoned and left to die. And I'm just going to be honest with you, the church as a whole across the United States of America, we've been like verse 31 and 32. We've been like the priest and the Levite, where it says, and by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. He didn't care. The church has been apathetic about this issue of fatherlessness. Verse 32, and likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. We've walked by. We've let secular organizations, secular systems, the government, help these families more than we have as a church. And I'm not against those programs. Believe me, they helped my family when I was growing up. But if I would not have that eternal hope that God gave to us through our local church, I don't know where I'd be. I'm just going to be honest with you. You know, I had places give. I had this one place, this one business buy me a bike as a kid. It took me on this thing. It was Sheetz Gas Station. Anybody ever heard of Sheetz Gas Station before in Pennsylvania? They have some across the country. Sheetz Gas Station, kind of like Wawa or Bucky's or I guess here, what do you have? What's your big gas stations here in the state, Missouri? Okay, there you go. So that you know, these different gas stations, and there's that one. Oh, that was the QT. Is that one of them? But Sheetz gas stations in Pennsylvania and different places. Well, they took me as Sheetz Family Christmas, bought me a bike, bought me NBA Jam Session VHS tape, and bought me a football with a T. I'll never forget what they bought me because they bought me all these things, and I was so thankful. But there was no eternal hope present there. There was no eternal hope. And I could have gone through life getting those gifts, but I would never have known about Jesus Christ. And that's where we as a church, we need to make sure we're coming alongside these families. Sure, let them get a free bike over at that place. That's fine. But let them know that there's eternal hope. Does it make sense? You guys with me? And we as a church, we need to make sure that we reject apathy and not just think, oh, they're being taken care of by these other groups. We need to be involved in helping them on their journey. We need to reject apathy and help them. This verse 31 and 32, these guys were apathetic, but verse 33 is an encouragement. It says, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. The Samaritan man said, no. He said, I'm not going to be apathetic. He said, I'm going to care about this person that's in front of me right now. And I want to ask you this morning, who's in front of you? Who's on your journey? Who's in your circle of influence that needs some encouragement? Who's that niece or nephew? Who's that person in your neighborhood, that person in your family, that person across the country that you know that needs some encouragement, that needs to hear about Jesus? Are you willing to be the person that's the hands and feet of Jesus in their life? We got to reject apathy, though. We got to say, I'm not going to be apathetic about this issue anymore. You know, the statistics I want to share with you, the first thing is crime. Crime. 85% of youth in prisons grew up in fatherless homes. 80% of rapists motivated with anger issues come from fatherless homes. Of the 27 deadliest mass shootings, 26 of them were fatherless. Why is that? Because they're angry about their situation with their dad. Because they don't have a dad to teach them how to be a loving, respectful person. And they don't have that. If they don't have that, they end up committing these crimes. They end up getting involved in a group of friends or getting involved in a gang. And when they were a child, they didn't think, oh, I want to be a mass shooter. I want to be a rapist. I want to be in youth detention center. They just got involved in these things to cope through it. Or they become a drug and alcohol addict. Or they become a person heavily involved, addicted to pornography, or whatever it might be to cope with the situation. But we as Christians can come alongside them and mentor them and teach them a better way. Teach them and help them on their journey. Issues such as homosexuality. Now, homosexuality can come from, and understand this, it can come from abuse. It can come from the type of friends that you grew up with, the people you got around in college. There's different situations where you can go into that lifestyle. It's a choice you make to go into that lifestyle. There's different situations that can lead you to that. Well, there was a guy in California, a very well-known psychologist named Dr. Joseph Nicolosi. This guy, his whole practice was focused on helping homosexuals become heterosexual again. They didn't want to have that in their life. And they would go to him and say, help me work through this. And he's quoted as saying, I've worked with thousands of homosexuals. I've never seen one who had a loving, respectful relationship with his father. Never seen one who had a loving, respectful relationship with his father. Now, understand, these are the ones that went to him and said, I don't want to have these feelings anymore. Can you help me work through this? They would go to him and say that. And they had dad issues in their life. You know, I want to encourage you, understand that this issue, it can come from other things. It can come from abuse, things like that as well. But they would say, I don't want to have this issue in my life. Teen pregnancy. 71% of pregnant teenage girls come from fatherless homes. Isn't that amazing? If you're against, you know, abortion, if you're against these things, and you're like, man, be proactive about it. And help that young girl to make the right choices. Help her to decide to choose life. Help her to decide to not be with that boy, that friend that she's with. Help her to make that right choice. You know, we can be proactive about this. Now, maybe you're thinking, sometimes people tell me, when we first started the ministry, people would say, well, we don't have these kind of families in our neighborhood. You know, this is from a certain side of the train tracks, a certain economic background, a certain race. There's a study that says a white teenage girl from an advantaged background is 5 times more likely to become a teen mother if she grows up in a single mother household than if she grows up in a household with both biological parents. 5 times more likely because dad was there. It doesn't matter how much money, what neighborhood she grew up in, what race she is, because dad wasn't there, because dads matter. Dads, I want to encourage you this morning. You matter to your children. One of the main things people tell us at our table is I had a dad in my house. He was physically present, but I was basically fatherless. I want to encourage you, dads, if you're doing great, keep going. If you haven't been doing great, turn it around. Go after your kids. Your kids should be your biggest priority, past right after God, your wife, your spouse, and then your children. Way more important than any hobby you have, any job you have, anything like that. It's way more important than those things. Focus your ministries on your children. Be the best dad you could ever be. Try to hit home runs. I know we're not perfect, but try to hit home runs with your kids. Let them know you love them, you care about them, that you believe in them. Let them know. Push them to success. That's your job. Maybe you're thinking, well, I messed up as a dad or as a mom. Today, start pursuing your kids. It might take a while. Start building that relationship with them. Try to turn it around. Do what you can to build that back up. God's a redeeming God, right? The whole story of Jesus Christ is a redemption story. And if you pray about it, you work through it, maybe there could be some redemption with your kids if you're in that situation. Education. In studies involving over 25,000 children using national representative data sets, children who lived with only one parent had lower grade point averages, lower college aspirations, poor attendance records, and higher dropout rates than students who live with both parents. You know, even with girls, dads matter because dads provide security to a girl. And when they don't have a dad there, they'll find a guy to find that security, to find that worth in. You know, in education, dads push their kids to do good, to do their best. When they don't have that dad there, mom's trying to do her best to raise them. And mom, you can still push them. Mom, you can still help them with these situations. You center your home on God. If you're a single mom, center your home on God. You do your best to make your kids live for God. Have your home filled with godly music, godly entertainment. Have devotions. Make sure your home's filled with God. You can succeed through this as a single mom. Your kids can grow up and serve God and do great things for God. You don't have to become a statistic. Your kids don't have to become a statistic. You can overcome the situation through Jesus Christ. But many families haven't been able to because they don't focus on God in their home. As Christians, we need to get alongside these families and be the mentors that these kids need. Teach them and help them on their journey. Suicide. 3 out of 4 teenage suicide occurred in a household where a parent has been absent. Now, maybe you're still thinking, well, why? How does this affect me? Well, if they don't do good in school and get a good job, they may rely on your tax dollars someday. You know, crime in your neighborhoods are happening. Drugs and alcohol addictions going on because they're coping through it instead of coping with Jesus Christ. And so they can overcome this, but we need Christians to come alongside them to help them. The last thing was on the video. Fatherless children are at a dramatically greater risk of drug and alcohol abuse, mental illness, suicide, poor education performance, teen pregnancy, and criminality. Notice it says mental illness in there. A lot of times we'll over-medicate a child, and they just need somebody to say, hey, I believe in you. Now, sometimes there is a chemical imbalance and they need medication. But a lot of times they just need somebody to say, I believe in you. I'm here for you. I was one of those kids. When I was a kid, I could have been one of those kids that they would have put on medicine, but I just needed somebody to believe in me. I was a crazy kid as a kid running around and stuff, but I just need some people to say, I believe in you. You can do better than that. I'm here for you. I love you. That's the medicine I needed as a kid. There's a lot of kids like that out there. Now, maybe you're thinking to yourself, thanks a lot, Sean. We're having a potluck today. I came here to be encouraged today, and I'm excited to be here at church. Now I'm stressed and depressed. Maybe that's what you're thinking after hearing all these statistics. Now, that's not why I'm here, to make you discouraged, to make you depressed and stressed. I'm here to encourage you. And understand there is hope. The hope is us as Christians doing what God's called us to do to reach the people that are hurting around us by leading them to Jesus. It's not about us, it's about Jesus, but us doing our part. But we got to reject apathy. The second thing is we need to remit compassion, letting compassion flow through our lives out to this lost and dying world, being the hands and feet of Jesus, being a light for God in this lost and dying world. Now, who is the ultimate picture of compassion? Jesus. My daughter's heard this before, okay? Say it with me. Who's the ultimate picture of compassion? Jesus. Jesus is the ultimate picture of compassion. The Bible says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. God loved us so much that he sent his only begotten son to die on the cross for us, right? John 3:16. We love these verses because they're such an encouragement to us. God loved you so much. Now, if you're in here this morning and you've never trusted in Jesus as your Savior, I want to ask you, what are you waiting for? Maybe you're thinking, well, it's on Sunday morning. I'm here in church. I volunteered as a youth director many years ago at a church in Pennsylvania. And it wasn't on staff, just volunteering. And I asked the guy that was running the youth group before I got there. He had grown up in the church. I said, would you share your testimony with the teenagers? In front of the teenagers, I asked. It was a rookie mistake, okay? I was learning. And he looked at me, he looked at them, and he said, I just have always gone to church. That's not what the Bible says about being saved. You know, you can come to this church and sit in a pew and attend every single service, but these church walls cannot save you. Sitting in a pew cannot save you. Attending events at a church cannot save you. The Bible says we need to put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. It's by putting our faith and trust in Jesus. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You have sinned before. You've lied. You've stolen. You've cheated. That separates you from God. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But God commended his love toward us. Now, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You've sinned. You're born a sinner. Your sin's going to lead you to hell when you die. You need to realize you're a sinner. The things you've done wrong separate you from God. You need to believe that Jesus died on the cross and he rose again and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, confessing your sins to God, saying, God, I'm a wicked, vile sinner. I only can be saved by you. I believe that Jesus died on the cross and he rose again, and call upon Jesus to save you. That's how you get saved. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want to ask you, have you ever called upon the Lord to save you? If you haven't, make the decision today. It's the most important decision you could ever make with your life. Don't wait. Now, if you have been saved, I want to ask you, how's it going? Is it still going good? Because we can get stagnant in our faith, can't we? Now, I'm not going to have you raise your hand, but we all probably could raise our hands. There's been times where I've been stagnant in my faith, right? Who in here has ever heard of Spider-Man before? Raise your hand. You're like, Spider-Man? Yes, raise your hand, heard of Spider-Man. He's an American icon. Everybody's like, this guy's talking about Spider-Man? Yes, I am. Okay, Spider-Man, he got bit by what? A spider. Okay, he got bit by a spider. The kids helped me out. My daughter and a few kids were there, he helped me out. And so Spider-Man got bit by a spider, okay? Now, I'm not that into it. So if you have a problem with the way I describe Spider-Man, you're thinking, well, it's actually technically like this, and you're really into it, talk to the pastor, okay? Don't talk to me about it. I don't want to hear your arguments about Spider-Man, because I really don't care that much, to be honest with you. And so Spider-Man, he got bit by a spider, and because of that, he's able to shoot webs. We're just going to go ahead and agree on that this morning. So because of that, he got bit by a spider, he's able to shoot webs. Now, picture this. Spider-Man goes home, that after he gets these powers, he sits down in his living room, and he thinks, I'm going to watch a Batman movie. And he's going to get some pointers off Batman. And so he goes, and he sits in his living room and watches Batman. I've heard that I shouldn't mix Spider-Man and Batman. I don't know. I'm not that into it. People have told me you shouldn't mix it. I actually had a pastor 2 weeks ago in Colorado say, man, you're really messing with things there if you're mixing. I don't know. I don't really know much about it. But anyways, and so Spider-Man, he's watching a Batman movie, getting some pointers, I guess from a different universe. I don't even know. But he's watching it, and then he thinks to himself, he's like, you know what? I'm thirsty. He's like, I could use a drink. You know, and so he wants a soda. What do you call it, pop or soda here? Pop? Oh, I love you people. I really do. Because I'm from Pennsylvania in a little area that calls it pop. And then that's where I grew up. And then I moved to Florida and they're like, it's soda. What's pop? And then there's places that call it Coke. Is there any Coke people here? I want to see my Coke. Okay, I appreciate that. I love that because you call it Coke and you're like, oh, I want a Sprite. Hey, that's great. Whatever you want to call it. We called it Pop growing up. People call it soda, Coke, whatever you want to call it. But anyways, Spider-Man, he's going to call it Pop. And so Spider-Man's sitting in his living room. He's relaxing. And he shoots a web into the kitchen, opens up the refrigerator, shoots another web, pulls out a Pop. He's just sitting there. And he thinks to himself, he's like, I've never have to stand up again the rest of my life. This is great. And then he gets bored watching Batman, thinks to himself, he's so much better than Batman. Now, if you have a problem with that, talk to the pastor. Don't care either way. Batman, Spider-Man, whatever it might be. Spider-Man then goes outside to his backyard. You know what? He's never been able to dunk a basketball before. But things have changed, right? He's Spider-Man now. And so he goes out to his backyard. He goes to the basketball hoop. He shoots a web up to the backboard, pulls himself up, and he dunks the ball. What a horrible Spider-Man movie that would be. Are you with me? Because Spider-Man is supposed to be out fighting crime. He's supposed to be out helping people and saving people. But instead, he's doing what? Keeping it to himself. He's keeping it to himself, right? Keeping it to himself. He's not doing what he's supposed to be doing with the powers that he had. That's the same thing with us as Christians. We trust in Jesus as our Savior. We get filled with the power of the Holy Spirit upon us, don't we? But a lot of times we'll take it home, we'll just kind of put it on the shelf. We'll say, good, maybe I'll go to church next Sunday with that. I want to encourage you to take what God's given to you and use it in your life every single day. Shining a light into this dark world, letting compassion flow through your life into this dark world. You know, the Bible talks about this group of individuals called the fatherless and how we're supposed to minister to them. It says in Psalm 68:5, it says, a father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation. God is a father to the fatherless. Do you think God cares about the fatherless when he talks about them like that in his Bible? In his word, in his Bible. Jesus is your Savior. God's your Father. But he's a father to the fatherless in his holy habitation. He fathers them in his holy habitation. He really cares about them. Psalm 146:9 says, the Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless. But how are they going to find relief if we don't go and tell them about him? If we don't help them and lead them and disciple them and mentor them? How are they going to know? You know, our job as Christians is to help in this situation and be part of the solution. It says in James 1:27, James 1:27 is an amazing verse because it says it's pure religion. It's pure religion for us to visit the fatherless. It says pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction to keep himself unspotted from the world. What that verse is telling us there, it's a pure religious practice for you, not just for your pastor, not just for me, not just for the leaders of the church. It's for you. It's a pure religious practice. And as Christians, we should want to practice pure religion. It's a pure religious practice for you and for all of us to visit the fatherless. To visit there means to look upon in order to help or to benefit. It's not a one-time thing. It's an ongoing thing to visit them. This is the answer to the number one social issue in our country. If we all would just visit one family, we all would just spend time encouraging and looking after one fatherless individual, one fatherless family, and doing it the best that we can. Imagine the difference we could make across this nation. We've seen the issues arising from the fatherless on the news. We've seen it this past year. But imagine if you could just be part of the solution. Don't get overwhelmed by the numbers. Satan tries to make us overwhelmed by that. If we all would just reach one, though. Don't worry about reaching the millions out there. Reach one kid. Reach one grandparent raising their grandkids, or one single mom. Reach one of these families, one single dad, one motherless individual, one foster care family. Do what you can to help them. Practice pure religion. Help them in their situation. Now, I'm not traveling around homeless for the last 3 years for you to say, aw, let's go eat the potluck. Okay, that's not what I'm doing. I'm just being honest with you. We're ready for the potluck, aren't we? You guys ready? You guys ready for the potluck? But I'm not traveling around for you to say, aw, these poor little fatherless kids. Because that would do nothing for you just to feel bad. It really wouldn't. It really wouldn't at all. It wouldn't help the situation at all. You know, if you came here this morning, you hear all these statistics, you hear all these scriptures, you hear the Holy Spirit maybe leading you to somebody that you're supposed to reach, and you walk out of these doors and you do nothing, you'd be like one of those movies you watch. Did you ever watch a movie that just ends? And you're thinking to yourself, who directed this movie? Did you ever watch a battle scene and there's a fight scene and then nobody wins and there's a tie at the end? Did you ever watch that? Who hates that? Raise your hand if you hate that. Be honest with me. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. Or there's a movie about a guy and a girl falling in love. And at the end of the movie, they're still friends? And it's like, are you serious? I wasted 2 hours of my life for you guys to be friends? Are you kidding me right now? Who hates, be honest with me, who hates movies like that? It's a complete opposite from every Hallmark movie ever made. Everybody ever see a Hallmark movie? come on, you guys know what I'm talking about. Hallmark movies, they're all the same. A guy or a girl goes to a small town. They're dating that big city boyfriend or girlfriend attorney, aren't they? Then they go to the small town. They meet that country boy or country girl. And at first they're like, ew, I hate you, right? But then they have a job to do. They have to save a cafe or save a factory in that small town, don't they? By the end of, you know what I'm talking, I know you guys have seen these. By the end of the movie, they dump that big city boyfriend or girlfriend attorney. They fall in love with that country boy or country girl. They're like, hey. And they save that cafe or save that factory. Every Hallmark movie ever made. I hate Hallmark movies. I'm just going to be honest with you. They're all the same. I'm sorry to ruin your afternoon plans. I know you were planning on watching a Hallmark movie. I apologize. If you have any problems with it, text the pastor, okay? I shared this illustration at a church in South Carolina one time. While we were sitting down to eat, somebody in the church texted the pastor's wife, and she said, can you believe that guy talking about Hallmark movies like that? You know, that's what she said. So if you want to do that, go ahead and text pastor's wife, and you can talk to her about that. But anyways, the reason why I say this is because Hallmark movies, they have a good ending. They're all predictable. We know the ending the first 5 minutes. We know what's going to happen. He's going to dump her. She's going to fall in love with him. They're going to save that cookie factory, and it's all going to be good in the end, right? That's what's going to happen. Everyone. I'm talking about the ones that just end. And you're like, man, that was a horrible ending. I could have done a better job. They're unpredictable. I want to encourage you to have a good ending for your story, to do your part to help finish this story. You've heard the statistics, you've heard the scriptures, you've had the Holy Spirit work on you about somebody maybe you should help or just getting involved in it. The last thing is, react with a plan. Don't just reject apathy, don't just let compassion fill you and say, oh, I feel bad for these kids. React with a plan. Do something proactive about it. Be part of the solution about it. Don't just complain about all the problems in our country. Be part of the solution. For too long, we as a church have just turned a blind eye to the situation. We can be part of the solution to it. Look what happens here. You know, verse 33, I'm so glad it didn't end with, but a certain Samaritan as he journeyed came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. End of passage. We'd be like, well, what did he do? Did he do anything? I'm so glad that Jesus gave us this story and gave us the rest of the story, where he showed us what this man did. He actually did something. Verse 34 in Luke chapter 10, it says, and went to him. He did something. He went to him. They say if you don't do something within the first 48 hours of caring about an issue, then you probably won't do anything. So I want to encourage you between now and Tuesday, do something. Start the process. Start praying for who to help. Start reaching out to the people. Write them a note. Text them. Call them. Make a list of what you're going to do. Start getting involved in your life. Be like James 1:27 and start visiting them once a month. You know, it's pure religion. Practicing that pure religion. Getting involved in their life. Make a plan. I want to encourage you to make a plan to do something about it. You know people that I'll never meet that maybe can find out about our resources that can help them on their journey, to help them get saved, to help them get discipled, to get plugged into this local church here that we may never meet. The pastor and I may never meet, but you can reach them. Do something about it. Do what you can to help them on their journey. Look what it says here in verse 34. And bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. He used his own resources to help him heal. He gave him transportation. He gave him lodging. He gave him basic needs. Now, I'm not telling you to go broke with this. It doesn't have to be an extravagant plan. It doesn't have to be an expensive plan or a time-consuming plan or an energy-draining plan. It's just you taking your resources and doing what you can. That's what the Samaritan man did. What resources do you have? What talents do you have that you could share with a fatherless child? If you teach a child one of your talents, it gives them encouragement because dads teach their kids things on how to do things. So do moms and dads. They teach their kids things. And when they don't have that mom and dad to teach them things and different things in life, they kind of lack some confidence. And so I'm so thankful I had mentors. I would not be standing in front of you today if it wasn't for the people that poured into my life. I had my grandparents. My grandfather passed away. Then I had a youth pastor, and he took me camping and hunting, camping for the first time, took me mudding in his truck for the first time. I had different people take me hunting. I had different people that had an open door policy at their house. There were Christian couples that I got to see them as Christian married couple, as Christian parents. And these things were invaluable to me. They taught me how to work on cars, how to change oil, how to work on computers, all kinds of different things that I never would have learned if it wasn't for these people pouring into my life. I want to encourage you, don't take the talents and the abilities that you have or even the resources that you have and let them die with you. Pour them into somebody else and your life will be blessed. I'm not saying financially, but your life will be blessed with joy and happiness because you help somebody in need. And that's what God's called us to do. Will you react with a plan? Will you do your part? We see even in verse 35, and on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I'll repay thee. He even took care of this guy when he was going to be gone. Again, I'm not here to try to get you to pour your whole life into this. Will you just take a little bit of your margin, a little bit of your time, and invest it into a fatherless child, a fatherless teen guy, teen girl, fatherless young adult? There's a lot of young adults out there that are just kind of wandering around because they didn't have that mom or dad in their life to help nurture them as a child. Invest into them. Invest into that single mom. Maybe you can mentor a single mom or a grandparent raising their grandkids. You can mentor and help them minister to some of their needs. Do what you can to help with this situation. Do your part. As we close, I want you to look at the last two verses. It says, which now of these three, in verse 36, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. You know, I want to ask you this morning, last question. Who helped you? Maybe you had good parents. Maybe you had grandparents. Maybe you had a pastor, a coach, a boss, a teacher. I don't know who it was, but somebody poured into you and taught you about Jesus and poured into your life and mentored you. And you're here this morning. Will you pay it forward? Will you do what it says here, what Jesus said, go and do thou likewise? Will you reach into somebody else's life to help them on their journey and encourage them? This is how you can help hurting people. Everybody, please stand with your heads bowed and with your eyes closed. Please stand with your heads bowed and with your eyes closed. I'm going to turn the service over to the pastor in just a second. I just want to ask you a couple questions this morning. Please stand with your heads bowed and with your eyes closed. If you're here this morning, you say, Sean, I've trusted in Jesus as my Savior. I know if I die today, I'm going to go to heaven. Would you raise your hand this morning? You know for sure you're going to go to heaven if you die. Would you raise your hand this morning? You've trusted in Jesus as your Savior. Okay, you can put your hands down. I want to ask you another question. If you're in here this morning, everybody's heads bowed, everybody's eyes closed. If you're in here this morning, you've never trusted in Jesus as your Savior. You've never been saved before. You don't know if you died today, if you go to heaven or hell. Would you raise your hand this morning? Would you be honest with me? If that's you this morning, I've never been saved before. I've never trusted in Jesus as my Savior. I never made that decision this morning. If that's you, I want to encourage you to talk to the pastor at the end. Maybe you're listening online. If that's you, I want to encourage you to contact the church and find out how you can be saved. That's the most important decision you can ever make with your life. Last two questions I want to ask you with your heads bowed, with your eyes closed. If you're in one of these situations, if you're a fatherless family, a motherless family, a single dad, single mom, foster care family, grandparent raising grandkids, I just want to pray for you this morning. Even if you're an adult that's grown up, you grew up fatherless or motherless, I just want to pray for you this morning. Would you raise your hand this morning? Is there anybody else? I see your hands there. Okay, I see your hands. Amen. Thank you. I see your hand there. Anybody else? Thank you. I see your hand there. Anybody else? I just want to pray for you this morning. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. Okay. Okay, last question I want to ask you this morning. If you're in here this morning and you would say, Sean, I'm willing to be part of the solution. This is not a commitment to me. This is not a commitment to God, but just asking me to pray for you. I want to pray for you this morning. You're willing to be part of the solution. You're willing to do what you can to reach the fatherless. Would you raise your hand this morning? I see your hands. Amen. I see your hands there. Anybody else? I see your hands. Amen. Thank you so much. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to be able to come here this morning. I pray, Lord, if there's anybody that's not saved here, I pray that you'd help them to make the decision to follow Jesus with their life. And I pray that you'd help them to understand it's the most important thing they could ever do. God, I pray that you please be with the individuals that raised their hands and said that they're in a fatherless or motherless situation, single mom, single dad, grandparent raising grandkids. I pray that you'd encourage them. Help them to experience your presence in their lives more than they ever have. I pray that you'd help them to cling to you as their Heavenly Father. If they're not saved, help them to trust in Jesus as their Savior, and I pray that they would just walk with you every day. Lord, help them to heal from some of the scars that our dads and moms can cause in our lives. And I pray that they would just cling to you and not focus on the past, but focus on the future of the hope that they have. God, I pray that you'd please just be with the individuals that raise their hands and said, I'm willing to be part of the solution. I pray that you'd guide them who to help. I pray that you'd give them the plan that they need to do, give them the resources, and I pray that you'd help them in the next 48 hours to do something about it. I pray that this church would be a lighthouse for you in this community to the fatherless. God, we love you. We thank you for this day. Help us to honor you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, Pastor.